This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing right now? I've never used that phrase, but I instantly know what it means. And I think it's interesting because it works two different ways. Some people need to have their social battery charged, and they this is the introvert extrovert thing. And some people, you know, like they've got enough energy for other people, but then it's time to sort of step away. And, you know, as we get to this part where winter is ending, which again, it's opposite. I love winter. I don't need it to end. You know, you start getting together with more people and it can be a little draining on top of every other thing that we all have going on in our lives. I just assume everybody's overburdened because I think everybody's overburdened, but it can be tough to deal with. And also one of the things is like, you can't necessarily understand why you feel that way or why it's making you tired, but it's a real thing. If you think that you could use some help with it, if you could figure out a way to make things better, therapy is a great way to help. It can give you that kind of self-awareness to know how to ride that level just right so that you feel good, you feel right. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you can give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online. It is designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule, which is, again, we've been talking about being busy, right? You got to fit that in. You got a lunch period. You can do it during that time, whichever. That's possible. You fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. I like that. There is no penalty for finding the person who is right for you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/iFanboy today. Get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/iFanboy.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
You're listening to the iFanboy Pick of the Week podcast, episode 155, sponsored by InStock Trades, Netflix, and the Windy City Comic Con.
I heard this! I heard that! What do I believe? It's hard to give, it's hard to get. And once you've lost it, it's always gone. I know I shouldn't accept what person's word is true, without at least giving you the benefit of the doubt. I get so mixed up by the things you say and the way you act.
Hello, welcome to the iFanboy.com Pick of the Week podcast, episode 155. My name is Connor, I'm here with Ron.
Hello!
And Josh.
Balls.
We are iFanboy, and we like comics, and we read comics, and every week we read a bunch of comics. One of us picks the best one they read that week, writes about the website, we talk about this here podcast, along with other books of interest. That's what we do for the show. Reminder for everybody that this is talking about the books of the week, so there'll be spoilers. If you don't want to have your book spoiled, pause the show, come back when you're done. It'll be more fun for you. And we're all here together.
Yay! I was in...
And Ron's got the pick.
I was in England last week, and so I missed the show. Mike Romo did a very good job. I listened. It's weird listening to your own podcast when you're not on it. But
I'm having deja vu right now.
Why?
I think we've had this conversation.
We all say it when we come back.
But yeah. Before I got into the review, I did want to talk that while I was in London, I was lucky enough to meet a lot of iFanboy, of the iFan base. Which was
too
really
right.
Cool. Which is really cool. So if you are in England and I met you or I didn't meet you, it's cool. We know you exist. That's
it's
awesome.
It's cool either way.
Thank you.
But
it was really cool. It was really kind of weird to hear people with accents be like, "I love the iFanboy," and it was very weird. But
is
it was
that
cool.
What they sounded like?
No, I have no idea. There was one very friendly gentleman who was very friendly. So I'll leave it at that.
Was
there any cupping?
There was no cupping.
You want to come around the flat after? I really like the show. I'd like to show my appreciation.
But it was a
nice bed.
Show me on the doll where he touched you.
Well done. But it was even better to be back in the United States and be able to get my comics on Wednesday because I missed them last week. I joked when I did my pull list on iFanboy.com. I think I joked to both of you and I said, "Wow, apparently I buy comics again." Because the past couple of weeks have been pretty light.
You had a 5-book week.
I had 5-book week. I had a 7-book week, and then 19 books.
Crazy. 18 yeah. books for me. I think next week is going to be worse.
Next week is really bad. But whatever. So I read them, and there are a lot of good books. And I found myself, you know, kind of staring at 4 titles. And at the when the dust settled, I really, really, I had to give it to.
He runs circular laps.
Yeah, much like the Flash. I had to give it to the Final Crisis Rogue's Revenge, issue number 3 of 3, a Final Crisis tie-in miniseries written by Geoff Johns, drawn by Scott Collins. And why did I pick this?
Because it was awesome.
Because it was awesome. And because of the Final Crisis tie-ins, this is the one that I was the most excited about. And I waxed poetic on iFanboy.com, my review about Geoff Johns and his run on The Flash previously. And if you are a recent listener of iFanboy, you know that there have been some issues with the current Flash series.
Lots of them. Lots it came out them. This week as well. Did it came out this it? Week.
We're not going to talk about it.
I didn't drop
it. I don't want that book to exist because it's so bad. And although for a moment I thought they were going to kill the kids, every month I'm like, maybe this will be the month. Maybe they'll kill the kids. But and I thought that also in Rogue's Revenge, but it didn't happen. But essentially, one of the key parts of Geoff Johns' original run of The Flash back in a few years ago was that he really built up the world of The Flash. The rogues were a big part of it. The cops were a big part of it. There was a great supporting cast.
He created a whole world that now has returned for this.
Yeah, mini. and so, but since he's left, the other writers really haven't paid attention to that world that Johns brought, the attention to detail or the development of characters, anything like that.
They're too busy with beefy kids.
Yeah.
I don't remember, like he left.
Yep.
And who took over after that?
I don't even remember.
I don't even know.
I have no memory of that.
Like, it wasn't just an immediate huge drop in quality?
I don't think so. I don't remember it being
along kind of averagely.
And then it went away.
And then the whole Infinite Crisis thing happened. And then
they restarted it at one with
Bart. That I remember.
No, the writers were the Flash TV writers.
Oh, yeah. DeMeo and
other one who didn't do a good book.
Rachel Bilson's dad. Rachel Bilson called me.
And then that was
slagged her dad off, dude.
I don't care.
That was no good. And then Mark Guggenheim, and then Mark Waid.
It's been a whole mix.
The Guggenheim issues weren't bad.
The Guggenheim issues weren't bad.
They weren't bad.
But whatever. So it's been a very rough few years, and so having Geoff Johns back writing the Rogues, and also specifically not just having Geoff Johns back, but what I realized after reading this was that the Rogues haven't been treated with the respect or the well writing that they deserve. They got pulled into the whole killing Bart. And then they got pulled in with Countdown, and all this kind of crap happened. Didn't the Trickster die?
Yeah, there's a new Trickster in here.
It's a new Trickster?
It's not the same Trickster.
Oh, I thought, okay.
No, he mentions this is before my time a couple times. Yeah, right. This is
the
Trickster.
So this kind of three-issue miniseries, I saw less as a Final Crisis tie-in and more as the redemption of the Rogues and Geoff Johns kind of taking his characters back. And then also, as I mentioned in my review, this is really just a prelude to Flash Rebirth.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, I mean, and it's so much so that this issue ends with the baddest of ass full-page Barry Allen drawing by Scott Collins, which, as much as you might like Ethan Van Sciver, I wish Scott Collins was drawing
Flash
Rebirth.
Yes, absolutely.
But and it's funny because going back to the Rogues thing, and I also mentioned this in my review as well, what really put me over the top was, so in this issue, basically this series started off with Libra making an offer to the Rogues, and the Rogues kind of giving Libra the finger and going, we don't want to be a part of your thing. And then Libra tried to make a new Rogues, and in last issue they beat them up. But they destroyed the new Rogues. But also, in addition to that, they were exploring their characters. Last issue we had Captain Cold and his father.
Great issue.
This issue we had Weather Wizard and coming to terms with the fact that he killed his brother and has a son and stuff like that. But then also we see Professor Zoom or whatever, Hunter Solomon, the Reverse Flash, takes on Inertia, who was the villain who orchestrated the death of Bart and used the Rogues in that as a pawn. He takes him under his wing to make him Kid Zoom or Kid Anti-Flash or whatever, and the Rogues get their revenge on him. And it was one of those moments where, you know, I know it fit the story, but I think it also was a commentary on what Johns thought of what's happened with the Rogues, because when they finally defeat him, and they all have their guns pointed at him, and they make it clear, saying, you know well that this isn't for Kid Flash, this isn't for my son, Weather Wizard says. They point their guns and say, this is for one effed up year. And like, it's almost like this kind of commentary that Johns is just like, you guys have been screwing it up, and now I'm taking it back.
Yeah.
And
you're taking them all back.
I'm taking them all back.
Josh, you should have read this. This was such a
good...
The mini itself was fantastic.
I didn't even read Johns' Flash.
But you didn't really need to. That was the thing. It was so good. I really liked everything. The characterization in this was really strong. You forget that that these were scary people when Johns wrote them, and they hadn't really been for a while, and now they're back to being really scary villains.
Yeah, and it's funny because towards the end, they're dealing with the fact, because basically the whole idea was that the rogues were just trying to come to terms with what has happened, and then they wanted to get out. They were retiring. Captain Cold was like, no, I've had enough. This is, you know, whatever. But then the rules kind of change because now Barry Allen is back, and they discuss it. The rogues discuss it, and Captain Cold is the one saying, hey, "Listen, you know, with the older Flash, it's he's old, and we kind of, you know, tolerate him. With Wally, it was like a game. It was like a game. There were rules, there were lines, but he say Barry Allen doesn't screw around.
They're afraid of Barry Allen. Yeah. That was one of the greatest conversations in the book. They're discussing the fact that now Barry's back. They're all frightened because Barry doesn't fuck around.
And when Barry finds out what happened, he knows he's going to come for him.
Yeah.
And so they're saying, you know, the whole game has changed. We can't get out of it.
And while that's all happening, is intercut with Barry running. And then at the end, he's running right at you or them, depending on.
So Wally was kind of a punk.
Well, no,
it was a punk.
It was almost like, you know, remember in Looney Tunes when there was the sheep and there was the and the coyote, and they would punch in, they had the clocks, and they had like this professional respect. It was like a job.
Yeah.
I always got that feeling that the rogues and Flash, like, this is what we do. This is the dance. We're going to do this, and you're going to try to stop us. But they never killed. They never crossed that line. And admittedly, that was the reason why killing Kid Flash was so out of character for them, because they crossed that line and them dealing with it. Now, how that
then that would make Wally ineffective. Because he wasn't actually stopping them.
He wasn't around at that point. He was gone. Kid Flash was the Flash. So right, Wally wasn't around when they crossed the line.
Right, true. I think it wasn't effective. He stopped them, but like the game was different.
The game changed.
And while the game with Barry was, it seems to be, you know, like, he says, you know, Captain Cold says, if Barry is back, then there are no more rules to follow in this universe. Like, kind of anything goes, because he was as ruthless as we should be. And it's, you know, if that's setting up what the story with Barry's going
to
be.
I'm looking forward to, I mean, as much as I don't want Barry back, I've come to terms with it, I'm looking forward to a badass Barry comic by Jeff Johns.
From that Scott Collins pinup, it looks like he's angry.
Yeah.
He
has a giant front forearm.
It's coming at you, Kirby style.
Yeah. I know. But, but yeah.
He's like the kid. He's got really big arms.
Yeah.
So I just got to, what is it, October? So I just got to wait a few more months before Flash Rebirth comes.
And when does it hit
that? This is coming next year.
Yeah, it's early.
Jeff Johns is this thing of like setting you up for a comic and then going, no, chill out. Hold on a little while.
Yeah. Oh, but it's so
slow late. Down,
October
Kacha.
2009.
It's going to be so fantastic. I just can't wait.
This was a really good mini. This is probably the best Final Crisis related book.
And that's the thing, is that it didn't feel like, other than Lever being in it twice, it didn't feel like a Final Crisis.
Well, I think it also, I mean, it's all tied in Barry being back, and they did, everything's changed now because of whatever's happened in Final Crisis is happening.
Right.
And that's, I think it's part of the,
yeah.
It's all connected, is basically what I'm saying.
It's all changing.
And that's part of the reason why we're not getting Flash until next year, is they have to have everything.
Well, just cancel the book then, seriously.
The Final Crisis has to end.
Right. No, but just cancel the Flash. I mean, what Burnett is doing on it is not.
They're not canceling it, right? I mean, they're going to be two Flash books?
No, I think they're going to cancel. They're going to do what they did with Green Lantern. They're going to cancel it and start with a one again.
Also, Rebirth's the mini, they're going to restart?
Yeah, yeah, I think
they
so.
They just did that.
I know.
No, but they went back to the original numbering. It's up to 237 now.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. They went back after.
That's really lame.
When Wally
that's big. That's,
Wally,
I mean, that's,
when Wally came back, they went back to the original Wally numbering.
Yeah, which was just really, really dumb. It's up to 245. It was just this. The Flash 245 that came out this week, it's just still not good.
Just let it be 250 whatever. You know what I mean? Just do that.
Yeah.
With your number ones.
Basically, they severely depowered Wally now, and now he can only go as fast as the speed of sound. That's, with no explanation or anything.
That's kind of awful.
There was some in Flash 245. There was some exploration of the Wally Roy Harper relationship.
That's cool.
Which is pretty cool. Yeah, no, it was good. And then there was.
I think Burnett's a good writer. I think he's just hampered by the scenario they've got him in.
He can't do anything.
Yeah, I was.
He can't get rid of the kids. So
I was really hoping they'd kill the
kids. He can make no long term plans. He has to tell one single story within there. So he's. That's, you could call it a limitation or just guidelines, but
yeah,
you're not really free to run, as it were.
That was good.
Thank you.
All right, Ron. What else was good?
So yeah, so the books that kind of came in, you know, kind of in a close second. Surprisingly, Astonishing X-Men number 27 almost was the pick of the week. And
Warren Ellis, Simone Bianchi.
I really love what Warren Ellis is doing so far. I really love the characterization. I really love
just
the dialogue.
A bunch of people would be like, "Hi, Ron."
No, I really like
how
it.
How did you feel about the last one? The
I almost picked the last one as the pick of the week too, because
it's interesting because you don't love Ellis.
I know I don't love Ellis, but for some reason this one was. So they're investigating this. They found this box
Is there a head in the box?
There's no head in the box. Gwyneth Paltrow is not in the box.
Is there a dick in the box?
So they found this box. Nice. They found this box.
Jack, perhaps?
They found this box, and they're trying to figure it out, and they bring in Agent Brand from S.W.O.R.D., who's now dating Beast. And just there was a lot of investigation and almost detective work.
Was there dirty sexy talk?
No, and there was...
In the box?
Well, because Warren Ellis usually does that with his female characters.
No. Well, there was a lot of allusion to him and her and Beast and what they're going to do later and stuff like that.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, there was. But it was really interesting because it kind of further explored the Cyclops, you know, because at one point they're arguing and Brand is trying to take over the... Like, she's saying, this is S.W.O.R.D. business. And Cyclops is like, I'm sick of you saying that. It's not your business. It's our business. And he yells and he says, you know, he's like, then I'll cut your head off and hide the fucking body to, you know, blah. And she's like, did you just say fucking to me? And there's right. asterisks. And he's like, and then Beast is like, Scott, you just said fucking to my girlfriend. And then Scott's like, what? Why is it a big deal? And Wolverine comes, he's like, I heard it down the hall. You dudes, don't curse like that. And it was a very funny exchange. It was like, it was really good. I just hate Simone Bianchi. I
wanted to comment on that. I didn't buy this book, but I was just flipping through your issue.
Yeah.
He's really good.
No, he's really good. Hang on. The one thing that struck me in the last issue was I really like the layouts and mm-hmm. I really like the page structures. I think that's really cool. I don't like the way he draws Brand's glasses, Cyclops visors, costumes.
That's a slight stylistic thing, and I can see that because you have a pre-existing idea of what the X-Men look like in your head. But I'm looking at some of the pages and some of the...
The layouts are awesome.
The layouts are awesome. And
the layouts are good.
So the shapes and things that are going into it, like, there's a lot on that page, and it's good. And I don't know if this is the best book for it.
Right.
Look at that. Wait, Connor, there's a double page spread of Evan,
hidden,
I suppose.
Hidden place in China.
That is a stunning piece of artwork.
Yep.
Yeah, no, it is. I'm not
artwork. I mean,
not,
the guy's got. I don't love his style on everything.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's. I mean,
I didn't like him when he first did it, the first issue. But that looks pretty good.
Yeah. I don't know.
I still don't recognize the book's right to exist.
Mm-hmm. But Alan Davis is coming soon.
That's gonna be a problem for me because I think really,
well, you know what? Yeah, I mean, like the thing is, from what I understand, I did some research and I got some more clarification. I don't think Bianchi is off the book. I think
Davis
having fill-ins to keep it on schedule.
Well, I mean,
which is fine.
I can't imagine you can do that on a monthly basis.
Well, this was really late, I think, wasn't it?
It might have been.
Yeah.
Couldn't be that late.
It must have taken a month just to do that double page spread.
I know. I mean, that's pretty amazing artwork.
Yeah.
Amazing. Spider-Man's amazing.
Amazing Spider-Man number 573. What do you think?
He didn't even do that on purpose. That was how good Josh is.
That was amazing.
It freaks me out because he's not holding a microphone.
Yeah, it's totally freaking
me out. I keep thinking, what is
wrong? He needs a microphone.
like he's just hanging out watching us do the podcast and somebody just won't stop
talking. I don't even have to look. I can just turn around.
This is the last issue of this arc, which is the Dan Slott, John Romita Jr. anti-Venom arc. What have you, Connor, I was curious, what do you thought of this entire arc?
Jesus Venom,
right?
Anti-Venom, yeah.
Right,
he heals you. I really, really enjoyed this arc a lot.
I think this might be the strongest arc of the whole Brand New Day run. This was epic.
Better than the Marcus
I love the
Martin.
Marcus Martin, but the story in that was pedestrian. This was really good Green
This was
Gauntlet.
Epic. This was epic.
This is epic.
Yeah.
This was of an epic scale.
Who wrote it?
Slott.
He wrote that other one too, didn't he?
Yes.
Yeah, he did actually. Well, Slott might be winning.
Slott definitely is winning. He wrote the two best arcs, the third best arc.
I like Guggenheim. I like Guggenheim.
Zeb Wells wrote my third favorite, the snow one.
Right, yeah. But I think Guggenheim's
niche.
Slot.
There's a lot of...
the compartment.
There's a big battle. There's the Green Goblin. There's Harry and Norman Osborn. There's the Flash, the Venom and Anti-Venom. There's a lot going on.
I love the Green Goblin costume. I like that he's back in the Green Goblin costume. I like that he is back as Green Goblin.
Yep.
I don't like... I said this last time, that he's compartmentalized with the Thunderbolts, so we don't get to see Norman Osborn.
Yeah, agreed.
I don't like the Bullseye. Bullseye doesn't get used because he's
barely.
No Thunderbolts.
Yep.
And I just... I don't have interest in the Thunderbolts, so now these great characters are stuck in this team
Let's not bitch about the Thunderbolts.
Right, but I'm just saying that's, you know, you're reminded in this how good Green Goblin is as a bad guy for Spider-Man. I like
when
the little touch.
When they're going through the wall.
I like the little touch where Norman Osborn built a complex where he could see the George Washington Bridge.
That was badass. Like, Harry's talking to his girlfriend, and he's like, yeah, my dad had this built on a view of the George Washington Bridge. I don't know why.
Yeah.
And it's just like, knowing what we know.
Great little piece of dialogue without any explanation, which was a great thing. And some really just great art. I love the way he draws Goblin. I love the way Romita draws Green Goblin.
Yeah, no, so good. So good. I really was impressed. This felt like, I know this had that extra Stephen Colbert crap at the end.
I didn't read that part.
But
I read about
this felt like this, was this more than 22 pages of this? It felt thick. It felt meaty. So, Yeah. So
this was really good.
Really liked it. Really, really liked it.
Who's up next? Do we know?
No idea.
It's a one shot for Flash Thompson.
Oh, okay.
Which is almost the same as what happened with Whitney in Smallville, where he went off to war.
Oh, right.
This Flash Thompson. Flash Thompson off to war.
I liked when Peter...
It's Guggenheim. I remember reading Guggenheim and somebody else.
When Peter made out with Harry's girlfriend, that was a great scene.
Really the dynamics in this, the relationships.
The relationships are amazing. Yeah, yeah, really, really good. Josh, did you read any comics this week?
Apparently, nothing that you guys.
What did you read,
about.
Josh?
I read the Roberts number two.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny because Roberts number one, you may remember, was the pick of the week. It's the story of the Boston Strangler and the Zodiac Killer. If they've been put in the retirement home and they met each other, they found each other, and I finished it, and I liked it a lot. And I did worry for a second. I was like, oh, I hope this isn't the pick of the week again.
I thought about it. I know.
Because it was good. I
think it crossed the line of creepiness for me.
Well, it should.
Yeah, it should definitely be creepy. I thought the first half was really, really strong. And I thought the second half was less strong.
Well, here's the thing. Is that
it still good, though. I give it a 5.
I have some criticisms about it. I would probably give it a 4. I think that they had to... do a story. Something had to happen, which is what happened.
I don't necessarily believe that. I think in a story this short, it can just be a conversation between two serial.
Maybe,
killers.
But my criticism would be that I was looking. The first half of it is literally all heads back and forth.
I loved the conversation with them analyzing other serial killers.
Oh, that was great.
And I loved to see when they talk about themselves in the movies.
Yes, no, that was good. I wanted more talk about Zodiac.
I liked all of that stuff, but at a certain point, I was like, this doesn't really feel so much like a comic book. It isn't.
It's not. I mean, it is, but it's. Oh no! I mean, like, it's a comic book, but it's a. I mean, but it's not.
I know, but at the same time, I was literally thinking, I was like, the artist must getting tired of drawing these same heads back and forth over and over again. Like,
no, but look at the. I mean, the portraits of the serial killers.
No, I know that, but that's later.
It's in the second, third page, fourth page.
Yeah, that's right at the beginning.
Well, either way, I'm just flipping through it. There's lots of heads and lots of stuff like that. I really, but the writing part of it, the actual dialogue,
yep.
And the intent, I thought was strong. Yeah. It was, in fact, stronger than the issue before.
Yeah. Right.
Absolutely.
We'll say that about halfway through, I saw where it was going. I saw through the twist.
Yeah. And I was fine with that.
Yeah.
I mean,
But it was in character because the whole thing revealed was that Zodiac had sort of lost his touch for it and was...
Zodiac wanted the credit.
No, but the thing is, like, he was... Boston Strangler was still a serial killer. Yes. And Zodiac wasn't.
Yes, agreed.
So when Boston Strangler sets Zodiac up for the murders that he commits, it makes perfect sense because he's still ruthless.
And ultimately, he just wanted to be left alone, too.
And Zodiac wants to be known for who he is. So it all perfectly fell into place. I thought it was... I really liked it.
I did, too. Yeah, no.
It was my pick of the week. But
creepy as hell.
It was very creepy. I just loved the first half so much. I loved the little discussion between the guys about it. Because you think that's what would happen if two serial killers met, they would discuss the other dudes you know.
And I want to be, like, these criticisms are, you know. I think it was incredibly well written.
Yeah, absolutely.
In fact, I think it was better written than the first half.
Yeah, no,
it
I agree.
It definitely was. And I think that you're seeing the story.
The Tony Curtis thing was funny.
The Tony Curtis thing
you're seeing
funny.
The story.
I love that. I was tempted to kill his daughter and say your dad made me do it.
All right, sorry.
You're seeing the story. Like, you saw that because that's what had to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, at a certain point, the story happens, whether, you know, you either write it or you don't, and I think that's what had to happen, but...
Yeah.
Very good.
They
very
need to collect good. This into one thing so you can give this to people, because that's so, so good.
I don't know if I give it to people.
Well, no.
Why are you giving me this?
So,
it's disturbing.
All right, real quickly, I want to remind everybody that the Windy City Comic Con is approaching. It is next week, this weekend, actually.
This coming weekend.
Yeah, October 25th in Chicago. If you live in Chicago or the Great Lakes area, there's no excuse not to go to this thing. Go to WindyCityComicCon.com. That's WindyCity, WindyCityComicon.com. For all the details, there's like 40 different creators.
Many special guests are coming.
You know, we don't know who is going to be there.
I hear rumors.
Ron from My Fanboy is going to be there.
Apparently, I'm going to be there.
Hopefully,
so.
He'll sign my boob.
But
your boob?
In addition to me, Gene Ha, Scotty Young, Mike Norton,
Tim Seeley,
lots of other people.
Ron Richards.
Barda.
Yeah, you know, basically a lot of the Midwest kind of talent are going to be there.
Anybody who's ever
Chris
been
Burner
on
is going to be there. Yeah. And there's some really great names. Go to WindyCityComicCon.com, check it out. It's only $5 to get in. If you pre-register, you get a free gift bag with all this kind of cool shit.
And Ron will sign your boobs.
I will sign your boobs. There's going to be a party afterwards, so it's going to be fun.
Please, shave your boobs.
So I will be there, and I would love to see you. Come say hi if you see me.
You can actually talk with Tom Caters about the Brewers.
Yeah, exactly.
I wouldn't.
You can drink with Tom Caters, and
he probably would.
Well, if they let him in.
So, all right. Windycitycomiccon.com.
Final Crisis Legion of Three Worlds number two.
Lost me.
2 of 5. Jeff Johns, George Perez. I would agree that.
I really tried.
The deep inside the Legion stuff was really too much, but the other stuff was fantastic. The last Green Lantern was great. Fighting all the stuff when they finally got to Superboy and fought him, that stuff was great. It was the beginning stuff where they were all.
I couldn't get past the beginning stuff.
I completely agree with you. My eyes glazed over for most of that stuff, but once the big battle happened, I was totally down for that, and I thought that was handled really well. I loved the Green Lantern. Perez is still doing Green Lantern.
Yeah,
but in this book.
Yeah, the Green Lantern stuff was
really, really good.
Perez's art is really good.
Yeah,
I looked at the pages. There's a lot of words, and this issue has a big fight in it, and there's a lot of words.
Yeah,
so. But
I just think no one can do the Legion.
Yeah, well, tell Paul Levitz that.
It was. I enjoyed it. Once I got past the stuff in the first 4 or 5 pages, it was good.
Who put Guardians of the Galaxy on? Was it me?
No, actually, I did.
Okay, good, because I couldn't remember what I had to say about it.
No.
So go ahead. What prescient thoughts do we have?
The dog got redeemed. I thought it was.
That was my. I was trying to think, what did I have to say? I thought it was
really. I mean, Secret Invasion got folded into this and dealt with totally perfectly.
I really loved the fractured team dynamic.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, like, I know that is the stuff of comic book standard team things, but damn it if they're just not doing it great. But yes, Cosmo the dog is redeemed.
Redeemed.
And that's what we want out of life.
Wasn't he the Skrull?
What happened was he was working with the Skrulls, and that's how the last issue ended.
Right.
We found out that he was helping. There were Skrulls who were not the Skrulls attacking Earth, but they were a pacifist faction, and they were on the run, and the dog was keeping them hidden. He was helping them.
So he doesn't
love you. Erasing his memory.
Yeah.
Which I didn't quite understand.
I didn't quite get that either, but I went, yeah. Okay, and so it ended with the team finding out what
Quill had sort of
brainwashed them.
Yes, he'd sort of nudged them into going together in this team, even though they might not have necessarily wanted to do that.
Right, and so it ended with the team going, "That's it, we quit." And the typical, what are we, 6 issues in, and the whole team quits.
Nice.
Yeah. Well, no.
Raid on schedule.
Raid on schedule.
Does that mean issue 7 they're all going to go to Avengers Mansion and pick a new team?
We can only hope. So Guardians of the Galaxy continuing to be awesome.
Honestly, how much? What do we have to do to get you into a new issue of Captain Britain and the MI-13 if you're not already? This is my car salesman pitch. What do I got to do?
We're all reading it.
Not you.
The people listening.
I'm talking to the listeners.
There's people out there.
I know you guys read it.
I think I got something out of this more than what you guys got.
Yeah, the ending.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was like...
I squealed.
I bet you did.
I'll be a little honest with you.
I like Captain Midlands, too.
Captain Midlands was my favorite part. The other parts, I didn't love so much.
Oh, I'm totally enthralled. I want to know if she's a vampire.
No, that part was good. It was more of what they were fighting. Whatever that...
What, this make your dreams come true?
Yeah, that thing kind of lost me a bit. I wasn't really into that, but I loved Captain Midlands. He was fantastic.
Captain Midlands. England's so funny.
The very, very boring, late-stayed British super soldier.
Yep.
He looks kind of like Ultimate Captain America. Yeah,
he looks a lot like Ultimate Captain America.
And I like the whole stuff with Spitfire and all that stuff. That was good. I mean, it was good. I liked it, but...
Do we know this about Spitfire, or is this new?
I know nothing about Spitfire.
She showed up
in Captain America. She's like a speedster, right?
Yeah, she is.
But apparently she's also a vampire.
She's like a power vampire, like a cosmic vampire, something like that.
So I don't entirely understand what happened there, but I don't know if I'm supposed to.
I don't know if I care.
Blade burning her forearm off was pretty fucked up.
Yes.
The Blade fight is all... I love that Blade just wants her dead. That's
Blade
awesome.
You wouldn't think so, but he really is an interesting thing to
I don't
add
know if
to
I've ever
book.
Read Blade before. Like in any, I don't think I've ever seen read a Blade. Comic with Blade in before.
I don't like vampires as much.
Well?
Yeah, I like Lamp.
Well, I just like because it's completely antithetical to everything that's going on in this book.
It was still very fun, despite the middle part where I kind of didn't care, but the other stuff between it, after it was good.
Yeah. So, I suggested we talk about Mighty Avengers number 19, and Connor said, "What more can we say?" And the only comment I have on it is that I just can't believe how bad it's getting. Like, this focused on Marvel Boy and Captain Marvel. And I was like, okay, cool. We're going to see what happened when, you know, Marvel Boy said time to go. And I feel like I don't know any more than before I read this issue. Like, nothing happened. And
well, I mean, the basically, I'm gonna blow it for anybody who didn't read it. And
we already gave the spoiler alert.
I know that, but I mean, basically, the Captain Marvel who found out he was a Skrull.
He died.
Yeah, apparently. I mean, what it looks like is that Marvel Boy is going to take over the mantle of Captain Marvel.
Except it didn't happen.
But didn't we know he was going to do that or even, anyway?
Maybe. But either way, what I'm saying is that I feel like this is a little impingent on the idea that you have some idea who Marvel Boy is. And I don't think that most of the readers do. I read the Marvel Boy miniseries, which is the last time we saw him, by Grant Morrison, Marvel Knights.
He was in an issue of the Illuminati.
Whatever. That one issue,
No, I'm just saying.
I know that. But, like, he's a kind of confusing character, and he's really hard to put a finger on, and I think that this was not giving you enough to be able to work with him.
That's exactly. That's my thing about it, is that I felt as if, that's why I was saying, I was no different than before I read it.
Ron and I were discussing this earlier today, and I think it's Bendis having all of the story in his head and not realizing that we don't all have it in our heads. And so he gives us pieces of it.
Yeah. And it was fun for a while.
He's in too deep.
It was fun for a while where, like, he would just be like, I'm going to tell the story, you follow along, try to keep up if you can. And it was good for a while because
he was filling in gaps, and we were like, oh, look at that, and there was little things.
But now he's run out ahead, and I don't know what's happening anymore. Yeah. And I kind of don't care.
If this ended with Marvel Boy putting on the Captain Marvel costume, then something happened. Great. It just ended with him holding him in his arms.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not enough of me.
And I've already heard the speculation. I mean, I don't know where, but that's not a new idea that he's going to put the suit on. So it's clearly... It's been
interesting because Marvel was an interesting character. Very much so.
Yeah.
And I do remember... I remember reading that Marvel Boy miniseries a long time ago and hating it.
Yeah.
Loathing it right up until the last issue and then going, I think this was the most brilliant thing I've ever read. That was a Grant Morrison...
I recall that.
I mean, that was a guy, like, literally, like, I don't know what's happening. I got to the end, and I was like, I can't explain it to you. I loved this.
Yeah.
J.G. Jones art on that, by the way, if you can find it.
Oh, yeah, beautiful. Real quick, I want to talk about Dynamo 5, number 17. I've talked about it. I've told you all you need to be reading this. Every time I go to a comic store, I get people to buy that first trade for $10. Past couple of months, I've been a little worried. I've been a little, okay, well, maybe the steam's running out or whatever. This issue blew me away. It focused on basically Maddie, the Captain Dynamo's wife, who brought the team together. She's in a coma, and the kid on Dynamo 5 with the telepathic powers goes in her head, and we get a character investigation of Maddie, and almost psychological, and her feeling that everything that's happened is her fault, and we see different points in her life. We see how she got together with Captain Dynamo, and it was just so deep and so well written and so well done. Like, I was just like, this solidifying that this is one of the best superhero books, and you need to be reading.
Has this ever been pick of the week?
Yes, it was. Yeah, it was. But it's so good. I love it.
Started to lose track.
Yeah. So
there've been so many.
Jeff Smith's Razzle number 3. I'm done with this in this current form.
Well, here's the big thing is that it's funny. We were talking earlier. A friend of mine twittered. I saw it on Twitter that Razzle number. He felt Razzle number 3 really brought it together.
Sure,
but seeing on the last page, shipping next issue March 09. Yeah,
and I was like, I can't do this. This might be fantastic, and when
this issue was really good,
it was fine. But literally, that's too long for me to have to wait because he draws pretty. I don't want to say sparse, that's not the word, but it reads really fast. His pages are big, they breathe a lot, and it's too long. That's too long to wait for this little amount of story.
And honestly, I can't blame you.
I don't want to read it in this format, and it's fine. It's very nice looking. The story is shaping up. It's interesting. That's how. What is it? It's October?
Yeah.
5 months?
November, December, January, February, March, 5 months.
I think this book was originally quarterly. Now it sounds like it's twice a year.
I mean, if it's and we know nothing.
I thought it was bi-monthly, actually, yeah.
This was announced at San Diego.
New York.
Whatever, 2 years ago or something like that.
Oh, was it announced in San Diego 2 years ago, was it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah.
And we didn't see it for a really long time. Yeah. And now there's this, and it's just like, okay, get on.
I agree.
Why would it take that long?
It's not even that... It's not colored.
It's yeah, and it's he writes black and white. He writes letters and draws. I mean, how long did it take for Bone to come out? Like, I don't know.
Well, it's like 10 years.
Either way, I realize like he's got like the Bone Empire to run.
Oh God, we're 12.
It might be, but I can't do that.
No, I don't. I honestly don't. I don't know. I don't know if, and of course Nikola Tesla, another book. Yeah. Comic people love Tesla. Yeah, I can't disagree with you. I don't know if I'm going to stay with it, but...
I think you will, but you won't be happy about it.
Probably.
Fables 77, I wanted to bring up real quick. The first epoch of the book is over. We are now in the rebuilding. of everything and the reclamation, as it were. The thing that was interesting about this book for me is that it flits back and forth between the real world, the sort of politics of Fabletown, which, you know, if you've been reading, you know about, and then it goes back into the homelands, and there's a story of these two guys, and they are, hold on.
Wait for it.
Mouse and, oh, what's the other name? Anyways, it's Farford and Grey Mouser.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Farford.
I mean, clearly, like,
Farford and the
Grey
Mouser.
Which is an old...
Mignola.
Which is, well, right, but it's based on...
Farford.
It's based on older stories. But I read that Mignola book.
Farford.
Mignola and Chaikin.
And the Grey Mouser.
Right. So they're best doing this thing. It's basically these characters back in the... Stop. You're throwing me off.
And the Grey Mouse.
He's staring deep into your eyes and doing it. That's probably...
I just like saying Farford. Because those are letters that shouldn't go in there.
I understand.
Order. Sorry.
So it's flitting back and forth to these completely new characters doing this completely new thing that we don't know anything about. But it's based on... Like, the only reason I knew who they were was because I'd read that obscure-ass Mike Mignola book. So everybody else must be completely confused.
So.
It was weird. Anyway, the next thing that I need to tell you about, I need to tell you about the Netflix. That would be where you would get DVD movies and Blu-ray, should you want them. Over 90,000 titles, no late fees, free shipping both ways, fast delivery. Most of the shipments will go in just one day. They'll ship from them to you. You can get a plan starting at $4.99. And if you would still like a free two-week trial, you can get that by going to www.netflix.com/ifanboy. I'm almost done with The West Wing. I've been watching it for 3 years now.
Wow. So make sure...
That beats the original 7 years when it was on.
It's true.
Make sure you head over to ifanboy.com/comics where you can pull the comics that you're buying every week and print a pull list, take it to the store, and then come back and rate them and review them. Normally we talk about... we kind of read some user reviews, but this week we're going to be doing the Book of the Month now. So tune back next week to hear some
user reviews. I do want to say that the user reviews last week especially were just... phenomenal.
They get better and better every week.
I mean,
there's
a ton of them. There's lots of stuff to pick from. No. So don't think that we don't care about them. There's still the update for those on Monday mornings.
We love them. So so on to the Book of the Month. We're a couple of weeks late because of travel and things like that. I apologize. I'm sorry. But somehow I ended up with Pick of the Week and Book of the Month this week. My jaw hurts.
That's how it works, man.
So for Book of the Month, I chose American Flag, the definitive hardcover, volume 1, by Howard Chaikin, written and drawn by Howard Chaikin, published by Image Comics / Dynamic Forces. And what this is the culmination of a project that's taken many years to finish, and that is the first collection of the legendary 1980s series American Flag by Howard Chaikin. What American Flag is it's a – now you got to say it was done in the 80s. And it's an important book, and we talk about Dark Knight and Watchmen, stuff like that. American Flag is in that kind of collection of comics that came out in the 80s that changed what was being done with comics.
It's in the conversation.
Yeah, exactly. It's definitely in this conversation. And Howard Chaikin's working on Punisher War Journal now. He's done some other stuff. We've discussed he did that war...
Flight of the Phantom Eagle.
Yeah. And we said some things, I like it, I don't like it, whatever. In order to understand Howard Chaikin, you need to read American Flag. And even more so, I think, in understanding the tapestry and history of comics, I think American Flag is something that everybody should read. And it's been hard to get unless you found that it was published by First Comics. It was hard to find the back issues. Now you get this beautiful hardcover that collects, I think the first 16 issues.
You know how long it ran in total?
No idea.
I'm curious how long.
I thought it was all inclusive.
No,
forget
it.
I've done.
It's only one, but
it's like a trip to Cabo.
So basically, what it is that it takes place in the near future, and if I had to describe it, I'd say it's a combination science fiction, satire, comedy, a little bit of sex, a little bit of action. It's all that kind of stuff rolled into one. Basically, what has happened is that in this world. In 1996, there was a financial crisis, and surprisingly, the U.S. government didn't make it through. Yeah. And what happened was that instead of figuring it out, the U.S. government and several corporations that were supporting the U.S. government relocated to Mars. And in the time that has passed, Brazil has risen as a world power, and America has been – the states and cities have been replaced with these corporate entities called Plexus or Plex Malls. And these plexes are run by the government on Mars. And so essentially this takes place in the Plex Mall that was Chicago. So imagine if Chicago, a big mall was built over it. And
we're not far from that.
Yeah,
no.
And everyone lives in it. And what protects the Plex Mall is a Plexus Ranger. And this issue, this comic starts with Chicago getting a new Plexus Ranger, this guy named Ruben Flagg. And he was previously an actor who was born and raised on Mars, and he was an actor in a hit TV show, but he was laid off and replaced by a CGI character. Now, that's really – this was started in the early 80s.
What's funny is that I was thinking about it, and you said that they moved to Mars, and I was thinking, well, how would they communicate? Would they have email? Like literally, like you have to imagine a scenario where that'd be possible, because the phone?
Well, they have video screens. It's like –
Well, then they must have some sort of interconnected
– Wi-Fi.
Right.
Worldwide
web.
The galaxy is wired for wireless.
Yeah. So I thought – but I thought the concept that he was the successful actor, and then they didn't want to pay him anymore, so they replaced him with a CGI character.
Did they actually use the word CGI?
CG, I think they used it. Yeah. I'm pretty sure.
There was CG in 80.
Yeah, there were. Yeah, so it's really interesting.
That's that really bad Batman graphic novel.
Right, yeah, yeah.
And what happens when he gets there? There's lots of gang violence, and every night the gangs start fighting. And he figures out that there's a show called Bob Violence that everyone watches, and in the show there's subliminal messaging saying kill, kill, and that's what's causing everybody to go fight.
It's like Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah, so over several issues, he figures this out and gets the gang violence to stop.
I've played all of them. I never hit anyone.
And that's from the first arc. That leads into the second arc, which leads into where the Republic of Brazil, this world power, is trying to take over Indiana and Chicago and like all this whole kind of things, and he thwarts that. Admittedly, it was rough to get started, because when you start reading it, you don't know what's going on. You don't understand the universe. You don't get the language. He invented a lot of words. There's a lot of slang and stuff like that.
Does anybody grok anybody?
No grokking, thankfully. So by the second issue, though, I was completely enthralled and I couldn't put it down. There's a talking cat who gets little gloves so he can type with human fingers so he could type. At one point, his partner dies and they don't have the budget to hire a new Plexus Ranger, so they give him a robot who's got like a cartoony version of his face. And the characters were so rich and so engaging, and it was funny. It was suspenseful. I had read a couple of issues. I'd never read it all the way through, from beginning to end.
It's hard to read a couple of issues. There's no context.
With no context whatsoever. So I just read it because I'm like, oh, so somebody lent me
it. Well, it is a work you hear about. I mean, whenever you hear the classic works of the 80s, 90s, the American Flagg is always on that list. And used to always see it in the store, in the 80s and 90s. You go in and you'd see issues of it.
The smiling guy.
Square-jawed dude. And I always thought one day I should read that because everyone talks about it. I never got a chance, so I'm definitely going to get this because...
Yeah. No, it's really, really interesting. And just a lot of the futuristic stuff and a lot of the commentary of the 80s to see what had, financial crises, technology taking over, just like little things like that.
It was a time of great anxiety.
Yeah, it was just really, 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 really interesting.
I thought it was morning in America.
No, it was anxiety.
It was just really, really interesting, and it surprised me that I liked it as much as I did, because I thought it would be dated. I thought it would be pretty stale.
Chaykin's polarizing.
This is obviously his life work. This is the one he will be remembered for.
When he goes wherever we go, he will be
remembered for several years before it was canceled.
He'll be writer, artist, American Flagg.
He could be remembered for that mutant.
And the
TV
Ark of Wolverine about the death.
What's the TV show he did?
Mutant X. Yeah, Mutant X. Which had nothing to do with the comic book that was out at that time called Mutant X. John Shea was in that.
Yes.
Yeah. Anyway, so John Shea played Luthor in Lois and Clark.
Yes.
And his artwork is great. It's different than what it looks now. And you got to understand, it's in the 80s, so the coloring is different, and it's a whole different process. But his layouts are amazing. And also, like, specifically within the art, what was really interesting is that he integrated the lettering into the sound effects, into the motion. So, like, when he swung to punch somebody, the trail of the punch was the sound effect. And, like, little things that we see now that at the time were just really kind of revolutionary. So
that's very cool.
Yeah. Good times. So you can check out American Flagg. You can pick it up, actually, at In Stock Trades. They have it discounted. This is a thick book, and it's an expensive book. InStockTrades.com has it for $26.49.
I believe the cover price is $49.99.
$49.99. That's almost half off. That's like 47% off, I think.
Yeah.
But wait, there's more.
Yeah, so if you go to InStockTrades.com, you can get American Flag as well as any other trade paperback or any other graphic novel you like. Save up to 37% off. They've got free shipping on orders over $50. They've got over 5,400 trades in stock and ready to order. New releases every Wednesday. They ship their orders typically within 48 hours. So go to InStockTrades.com. Pick up American Flag. Don't miss out on that deal. You ordered it, right, Connor?
I did order it.
Yeah. So
it is a big piece of comic history, and I think a lot of people don't know. People who come on in the last 10 years don't know that it is very important.
I think you would enjoy it, Josh. I really do. I mean, I think that the scenario and the setting.
Which brings us to donations at ifanboy.com.
So it was really good.
Josh is going to go check the donations box while I redo the email.
Who has next month's book of the month?
I do.
You do. Ooh, any hints?
Having? The book of the month. Like when you just said who has it next, I was just literally over here in my head going, oh God, I hope it's not me. I don't have any ideas. I don't know.
I have no idea what it's going to be.
We're halfway there, man.
I got 2 weeks. Give me a break.
Omaha the Cat Dancer. It's finally time.
It's going to be Omaha the Cat Dancer, the definitive collection. Cherry Pop Tart.
Book of the month is ShamWow.
It's going to be Cherry Pop Tart. Volume 1.
So you know it's good.
Nice.
All right.
All right, on to the emails.
Email. Bridget from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania says...
Sorry.
You're thinking about the ShamWow, aren't you?
Yep.
It's awesome. How do they absorb all that liquid?
I don't know, but I want one so bad.
Have you seen when the jump cut, they get rid of the liquid? Next time it's on, we'll discuss it. Bridget from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I would like to thank you for introducing me to comics. I found the podcast on iTunes about three weeks ago. And I was instantly going on Amazon.com to search for Powers, Astonishing X-Men, Ultimate Spider-Man when I got home from school. I love trades, but I'm kind of at a loss about what to do next. I live in a really small town, although it must be outside of Pittsburgh because Pittsburgh's not small. No one I know loves comics and the way I do. The vapid whores I go to school with think I'm weird for reading fables in math class, but I could care less about that. Anyway, sorry I babble. So I guess my questions are, how can I start subscribing to separate issues? What can I do about not being up to date on plots? What comics are a good place for me to easily jump on? Thanks, guys.
You know,
I
would like. I like to help. Thank you for making my bus ride to school so much better.
Yes, I like to help the newcomers.
Well,
it's important to reseed the audience.
It absolutely is important, and it was funny because I was listening to Around Comics, and Tom Caters was talking about this and saying that there's a big worry of people being able to jump onto comics and this sort of thing. And I'm kind of with Tom in that. I don't think
it's so bad. I think people might get out to be worse than it is.
No, yeah, that's the point. I think people overestimate. Like, well, I don't understand what's going on. Just start reading it. Like, you'll get it. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you'll pick it up. And if you
don't... I think some books, yes, but I think you can find books. I think Flash will be good.
Flash Rebirth.
Rebirth, because I think he's going to write that for people to jump onto.
That's like, not until next year, though.
Yeah, but it's early next year. It's going to be early next year. Yeah. But I think that's going to be a good one when it comes out.
The thing is, good books are good books. So when we sit here saying, like, this so-and-so title is good.
Captain Britain. Guardians of the Galaxy.
Just pick them up and start reading them. If you don't like them, you know you won't like
them. Now, she's in a small town. She can't get issues. That's harder because she can't just sample. She's got to order them. So that's more difficult.
That's you get discounts
on them that way then.
Yeah.
You can go to MidtownComics.com. You can go to DCBService.com.
As much as go to Marvel.com. They've got this whole digital library archive, and a lot of times they put recent issues for, like, Runaways are up there for free. You know, things like that. Give those a sample. Go to sites like iFanboy.com. There are other websites out there that I won't mention that sometimes put up previews of books, and you can get a feel for it. Mm-hmm. Watch our video show because we talk a lot about, you know, kind of upcoming books. And I know the Bendis show that just came out had some art from the upcoming Ultimate Spider-Man annual, which you can't really see anywhere else. And so. I mean, it's tough. I mean, honestly, it is tough. And as I've said this before, is that if you have a question about, if you start reading a book in Guardians of the Galaxy, who are these people? Come to iFanboy, go on the forums, post a message, look online. Wikipedia actually has tons of comics information.
Yeah.
You know, like you can glean a lot of it. Message boards dedicated to comics by fans.
There's a recommendation thread on our forums.
Yeah.
What should I read? And you know, we're in there sometimes, but there's also a bunch of other people who know lots of things, and that's what the communities are for.
Let's see if we can get her one book each to jump onto. What could she jump? What could she start reading? Dynamo 5?
Dynamo 5. Buy the first trade. It's $10 and see if you like it.
Invincible. Okay. Now's a fine time to be.
Could she pick up the next issue and be all right?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so. Fairly easily enough.
Welcome to Huxford.
I mean, if you wanted to go back far and get 50, they're on like 53, you know?
Yeah.
But you could read it. It's not that complicated.
Connor?
Superman.
Yeah.
Starting this month, Action Comics, Supergirl, and Superman.
Yeah.
All very good. And for if you want to order issues, DCB Service.
DCBService.com.
MidtownComics.com.
Yep.
There's places maybe like that you can subscribe to issues that way.
DCBService.com seems to be
the best. DCBService was the best one.
All right, our next email comes from our good friend Tad, who says he was listening to an old show when the iFanboys discovered Project X Challenger's Cup Noodle. Ron was so excited, he said he was going to order the entire line of Challenger Project X manga. Josh was excited to read the issue featuring the advent of 7-Eleven to Japan. So what happened? Does Ron have a secret shelf of manga in his apartment? Is Josh now an expert on the proliferation of mini-marts in Japan and Asia? Did Connor... Okay, Connor liked the book, but didn't get it, mention any related goal. He can set this one out. So whither went Project X? We did...
What? I got the whole shelf full of them.
I know, you did.
I got a whole Project X shelf, Tad.
We it's did chase books. Down the 7-Eleven book and the Dotson book.
Dotson.
We got Dotson. About the sports car. And we all read them. We all read them, right?
I actually haven't read the 7-Eleven book.
Well, it's good. I'll give it to you.
It's really good, yeah.
There's only so much time, dude.
Yeah.
They're good.
They were equally awesome. None of them really matched the greatness of Cup Noodle.
I like the Dotson book a lot.
The Dotson book was really good. Yeah. 7-Eleven book is good too. It's really interesting how it started.
Surprisingly enough, they're out of print now, and they're really hard to get.
Are they really?
Yeah. So if that's you see them bad. In your store, Project X Challenger Edition, Dotson, 7-Eleven,
there's
or Cup
a
Noodle,
magic
just buy
the Cup Noodle one. I don't know what it is, but the 7-Eleven is interesting. They started. It's
freeze dried shrimp.
They started in some dude's store and then expanded out.
Yeah. I mean, the 7-Eleven one is really interesting. How they there's a convenience store the guy screws to. They invented the double sided refrigerator that we have now.
Yeah.
To stock easily. Like, oh, it's
so you're stuck into the back. Yeah.
I understand. So I'm looking at them talk about it, and they both start to explain it to me. You know this one? I'm like, yeah.
You had a blank look on your face.
But
I always look like
that.
That
series is really good. And
you were someplace else, weren't you?
Just a footnote on Cup Noodle from that old series. It was nominated for an Eisner that year, and the publishers came out, and they didn't understand why it was nominated, and it was like – and like I always wonder if they looked at like the sales spike after we talked about it, because – not just people listening, but I personally made a lot of people buy that. So I wonder if they're like, where is this coming from? If they ever knew.
But compared to Japanese sales, like small bump here.
America. So
San Francisco.
So email us at email us at contact@ifanboy.com if you have any questions or anything you want to know about.
Are we doing voicemail now?
We're going to do a couple of voicemails. I don't remember what they're about, so we're just going to see what this one is.
All right.
Hey, guys. This is George in San Francisco, and I've just got a quick question about art. Some of the comics I've been reading lately, like House of Mysteries, bring in another artist for just a short segment of the book, and personally I think it's going to be pretty distracting. When do you guys think it is appropriate or inappropriate to change art mid-issue? Thanks, and keep up the good work.
I think that it depends on the situation.
In the story.
House of Mystery is an anthology, yes?
House of Mystery is sort of an anthology. There's an ongoing story, and it actually feels like they're focusing more on that. But in each, they're stuck in this house, basically, all these people.
Mini-stories, right?
Is it a mysterious house?
And it is. It's the House of Mystery.
Mm, mysterious.
And there's a bar in this house, and there's no money, so the way that they pay for drinks... I'm making air quotes, is to tell a story. And so usually what happens
I would hate this bar.
I've paid a much steeper price for drinks.
And so usually that story is done by a different artist. I think in that instance it works very well.
Perfect for the format.
Because it takes you out of, I mean, the same way. The story is supposed to take you a different place. It gives you a different feel. Then when it comes back, sucks you right back in. If it was the same artist, you don't have that same... feeling of transportation.
It's a way to instantly know you're in a different story.
Yeah, that's a great device.
It is. I think it works very well for that. Now, if there was no story and it was just a couple of pages were done by a different guy...
That'd be weird.
That would suck. Yeah.
Unless it was an anniversary issue and you knew it was coming.
It's possible. There's a couple of ways that it can happen. If an artist, if they're changing artists in a book. They did this in End League recently.
Yep.
Where like the last few pages are the guy who is the new guy because the epoch has changed.
What about didn't Captain America have multiple artists on the same issue a lot?
Yes,
in the beginning they had the Michael Lark doing the flashbacks to the World War II stuff, which was so good.
It was same sort of transportation.
Exactly.
Same thing with Iron Fist.
Iron Fist would tell when they told stories about Orson Randall, they'd go back to classic artists.
Or you get a guy similar, like what Ron was saying with Captain America, was they had Epting and Mike Perkins doing the same issue, but their styles are so similar that it wasn't so jarring.
There's one where it was hidden, and that's good. That yeah. works because the story didn't change. Another one they did that one was Humberto Ramos and Bachalo did that on yeah. something.
X-Men?
Yeah, X-Men. It was right. X-Men, yes.
And you couldn't tell the difference.
Yeah, I could. But,
okay, well,
yeah,
but now, style, similar, but the styles are similar.
Now,
the styles are similar.
Now, speaking in the same vein, the uncanny Ooh. Stuff where they're switching back and forth between artists, I think that was probably more jarring.
That was more jarring. In that one issue, though.
Right.
What about Green Lantern? With Ivan Reese and Ethan Van Sciver, yeah. when they switched the in that one War issue, and that, the Sinestro Wars one?
I don't think I even noticed.
Yeah, exactly.
They're similar.
Yeah. Ivan Reese kicked ass.
I love Anyways, I mean, I think I might like him better.
There's a way to do it well, there's a way to do it badly, there's a way to use it really effectively to help you tell your story.
Yep, you can use it as a device.
I mean, in the way that sometimes, in some comics, when they do a flashback, but the art looks exactly the same, you sometimes don't know you're in a flashback. Kane, Paul Grist.
You know, no, his hair is a different wave here. See, that's how you know.
He's going to punch
oh,
you.
Oh, man, he's giving me a stink eye like I've never seen before.
Seriously, those Michael Lark World War II flashbacks, how good
oh
was that?
Oh, my God. I was looking at those pages.
How much did he draw in Invader's book? How much would you pay for it in Mike Brubaker Lark Invader's book?
I'm guessing about $3 or $4 a month.
$3.99. starting January.
Would you pay $4.99 a month?
It better be double size.
48 pages, bitches. Cool. So yeah. So I mean. So I guess.
It's weird.
I guess we don't. I guess we don't agree
Bitches.
With you, George. I'm sorry, but to each their own. You know.
Wrong. You're just wrong.
All right. If you have any questions that you want us to answer via the voicemail, call 1-888-FANBOYS. That's 1-888-326-2697. Please keep them to 30 seconds and say your name and where you're from. And the 40. Majority of the voicemail is worth about 30 seconds. So good job this week.
That's 2 weeks in a row I've told the listeners off.
You're doing great for our rep. They're kind of jerks.
He's the asshole.
Because if one of us say it, then all three of us
yeah,
say it.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah, exactly. So... Excellent. It's good to be back.
Why did you guys hate the Roberts?
What?
Josh had some criticisms of it, but said it was generally good. Why did you hate it? Why did you all hate it?
I saw the look in your eye, Josh. You had a contempt for it.
The writer has two names.
That's weird. I liked him. I really like you, Wayne, but it's weird.
Justin.
Does he get paid twice?
I don't think
so. If he does, then he's smart. Found the...
What sucks though is he's mad because he has to split it with myself. I'm only making half as much twice.
Well, you can go to fanboy.com. You can
it's
read...
two wallets.
Ron's... That's getting confusing. Ron's Pick of the Week review for Flash... Final Crisis Rogue's Revenge, number 3. Yep.
You wish it was Flash so bad.
I do wish it was Flash.
Yeah.
Right?
I do too. Yeah.
Fucking A, right. You can read more in-depth comic discussion, all the important news, and our weekly daily columnists. You can read Paul Dini's weekly column, Chris Meeson from Around Comics, writes one every couple of weeks.
Up in the top nav of that site there, that's WebSpeak. There's a little button that says Store. That'll take you to the iFanboy store, where you can find links to the books we talked about in the recent video shows or our recommendations, or a nice little button that takes you over to Amazon.com where you can buy anything you were going to buy before. But when you do it that way, it benefits the show and the site, and we very much appreciate that. So please remember that if you can.
Yay.
Because the holidays are going to be coming.
And every Wednesday on iFanboy.com and revision3.com/iFanboy, you can check the latest episode of iFanboy, the video show. This past Wednesday, we were very proud to present Brian Michael Bendis on iFanboy. Finally,
after years of
chasing him down, we got him.
What?
So Bendis was great. He gave us a ton of time, and also Lauren Sankovic from Marvel, editor on the Ultimate Books. I had a lot of fun talking to them. Hopefully, you enjoyed the episode. Next week, we're dipping back into the vault. We got some books we want to recommend to you and that you think you should check out. So check that out on Wednesday.
If you have a TiVo, then you are responsible for the increased product placement in television. Also, you can watch iFanboy. Every week on your TiVo in full high definition quality. You can go there. It's in the video download section. You can see us not looking so good on high def, but the video the graphics look great. We just look old and bloated. I think you should do the next one as Quint.
If you're responsible for t-shirts and wearing iFanboy in your chest. Used to be everyone wanted a different kind of shirt. Not now. You got jinx.com/iFanboy t-shirts, jinx in front.
It's not even any better. It is.
No, well, it's always my voice.
I know, but it was, yeah.
You need to watch Jaws again.
What do I want to do? Be fair, Spanish lady.
Jinx.com/iFanboy for t-shirts.
So, like we mentioned earlier, you can email us at contact@iFanboy.com or leave a voicemail at 1-888-FANBOYS. That's 1-888-326-2697.
We like social networks, and so do you, so go to ifanboy.com/about, where you can find our links to MySpace, ComicSpace, Verb, our Facebook group. We can find our Twitter links, Goodreads, all that kind of stuff. We're all on there, so come be our friend.
Josh, you've been reading the same book for... Shut up. It's
that's
up to
really
date.
Funny.
I don't want
to put it up to date.
It is up to date. I've just been reading the same book for... Shut up.
I have about 10 novels sitting on my dresser next to my 25 comics.
Literally, seeing your stack of unread books literally stressed me out.
Jeez.
I see it every day. It's above my sock drawer.
If you're still listening, please email us and let us know. Because I'm just curious.
I want to know who's still listening at
seriously,
this point.
Seriously, yeah. Seriously, people. Email us, contact@fanboy.com. Subject line, yes.
Yes.
And that's all we need to
know.
And
then write, I'm still listening.
I'm still listening.
In the body.
Seriously, we want to hear from all many thousands of you.
I want to hear who's still listening.
There goes our mailbox. What is he saying?
The overcharges are going to destroy us.
You snorted. I've lost track.
You can write us a review on iTunes if you like the show.
That was mine and that was all teed up. You back up. I'm doing it.
Beep, beep, beep. Yeah. All right, all yours.
You got iTunes. You got a review. Porkus. Write a review. Show.
How about some relevant information in there, Quint?
I've got it. Farewell. These fairs finish, ladies.
Leave a review for the video and the audio show.
Yes, we appreciate it, everybody. And finally, if you're still listening and you want more of this mayhem, you can go to ifanboy.com/donations. Donate a couple bucks to us, keep us going. We really appreciate your support.
Donation swims through a hole.
And I think it's time to sing this one out.
Back into the cave.
Show me the way to go.
I'm tired and I wanna go to bed. And I had a little drink about an hour ago, and it's gone way to my head.
We have
wherever
the drink already.
On land or sea or foam.
Gonna need a bigger boat.
Doesn't say that till later.
The irony is that I haven't had to drop the drink.
Neither have I.
I should come down here and chum some of this shit. And then he gives the greatest take of all time. The shark comes out of the water and he goes bolt upright and his eyes go big and he doesn't say a word.
He's underappreciated. Trader.
Truly.
Chief, next time you need to know which one to pull, you just come ask me.
That's what she said.
Until next week, I'll
be home in time
for
supper.
He's Quint.
He's Quint.
Damn right I am. Portable shower, monkey cage.